Welcome back, everyone. Happy Anywho. Tax season. I hope you're not drowning in paperwork like I am. I mean, I'm talking like I'm the accountant and it's tax season for me. So, right. Yeah. If you hear any quiet breathing or snoring, it is Valentine. Valentine is a little Maltese Shih Tzu, 13-year-old man, baby boy. And he's currently asleep on my desk. So I can't really do anything about that. Yeah, from doing nothing. Exactly. But if you hear it, that's sounds what like it me. Is. Exactly. From watching 90 Day. Because God knows Valentine has been watching every episode with me.
Right.
Anyway, let's just get into it. Because I'm fed up talking about taxes. Hey.
Found it interesting that how people lie at times to shut other people up. Like in this episode, Mina agreeing to the prenup in front of the family, and she walks away from them and tells Mark is like, I'm not agreeing to anything. You find a contract. You have Ani telling Amani that she loves her more than Matt, and then Sean telling Aaliyah that he wants to stay monogamous, and Jessica pretending that she didn't know about Juan's affair just to keep Megan quiet.
I told you. I told you she's scared of her.
I know. It is like she said she's
she said she was like, I didn't want to hear your that was the other thing. Like one, she didn't want to hear her criticism, but also I think there's a little part of her that's like afraid of what she would do.
It's just such a weird relationship those two, and she's a bit off. But first couple that we see is Shekinah and Sarper. They turn out to be the most normal couple. Yeah. It used to be the other way around. It used to be Shekinah and Sarper were these weird two people that, you know, every episode was something crazy was happening with them. And now they seem like very stable couple and going about their business and whatever they have to take care of. And in this episode, they go try to see, talk to Sophie, Shekinah's daughter. They fly out to, it looked like the Bay Area. With all the seals.
Honestly, it looked like Burbank Airport, which makes me confused because why would they fly from one part of LA to the next?
Well, she said Northern California, so I don't know.
She said she was going to Northern California?
Yeah, she said she was flying
to Northern California. Okay, so then maybe they left from Burbank. That's what I was seeing.
Yeah, they got on the plane and everything.
I thought that was them landing. That's why I got confused. Okay, so they left from Burbank. Got you.
And then they... to me, it looked like San Francisco, but I don't know.
Or even like Central Coast, like because Sarper found sea lions and you can see those at Central Coast.
His relationship with animals, it's fun.
He loves animals, yeah.
Yeah, with him and the house cow, he felt so very close to.
Yeah.
He was like, what's going on with Sarper?
I think it's a good... good marker for someone's character.
I know. Like
how they treat animals.
You definitely see a lot of change in him.
Yeah.
And he's more mature than he's ever been.
Yeah.
On 90 Day. But so they go for a pedicure, the Shekinah and Sophie. And Shekinah explains that... she wants Sophie's approval for this wedding. Otherwise, she's not going to get married. I mean, it's nice that to hear that, but I think that she's going to get married anyway.
Yeah, I felt bad to hear Sophie say.
Yeah.
Sophie said, "Well, you're engaged, and I haven't even met him, so that's one thing." But right. And she kind of changed the subject quickly. Yeah, and
Sophie
you're
doesn't
right.
even know like, that he's here. You know, he's with. Her in our mom.
She doesn't know?
No, she kind of didn't tell
oh,
her.
Oh, God. Oh, that he running... came on the plane with them and all. Yeah, because she's like, oh, so do you want to meet him or not? And she was like, I guess, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they're running out of time. They only have like 84 days left to get married. You know, you need time for them to get to know each other a little bit at least, you know, before deciding. I mean, they've
Yeah.
decided already. I'm not, they're gonna get married, but at the same time, you want to build some kind of relationship.
Yeah, we'll have to see what comes of that. But that was pretty much it. It was a short segment of just the mother-daughter
Right,
convo.
exactly.
Next.
And then next is the I can't stand this
Thruple,
woman.
right? Oh,
Yeah.
okay. Oh, who was it?
Amani.
Oh, it was the thruple next. I thought so.
Yeah, second
Oh my
was the
God, what a
thruple, and
mess.
I
What
know.
a mess. I think she's probably quickly becoming one of the most hated characters.
So, you know, selfish and controlling, and they go to this winery, and she's still upset about the fact that Ani's not telling her family about them being a throuple.
Right.
It's like that kind of stuff is not looked upon that nicely, even
It's still taboo. In America,
in
it's taboo, for
America.
God's
So
sakes. Yeah.
what are you expecting this woman to do?
Yeah.
You know, just go out and tell, you know, her conservative family that I'm in a relationship with this married couple, and I don't know
Yeah. It's
what
not
kind of
realistic
relationship they're
or
gonna have.
reasonable. Yeah. Well,
Exactly. The whole
quickly
thing
it
is
kind of
weird.
went to shit because they're sitting there and Amani is still upset about that. And then
Right.
she says, and then she got upset about, additionally, like, are you not telling anyone that you're in a serious relationship? And Ani said, not at this time.
Right. Yeah, later on she said she's protecting herself, meaning that if things break down and these two leave, she still has to have a life, her own life in where, you know, in Mexico,
Right.
in Tijuana. And she doesn't want to ruin that until she knows for sure that these two, you know, this couple is gonna take care of her and, you know, bring her to America and things gonna be different. Until then, she doesn't know. And
Yeah.
she's not gonna tell her, you know, conservative family, like, I'm gonna marry this girl who's currently, you know, married to this guy. And I'm gonna be one of the three in this relationship.
Yeah.
That's not gonna happen. Of course, it's not gonna. They keep asking her, are you gonna tell them? And she says, no way. I'm not gonna tell them ahead of time. At least I'm not gonna do that. They go to this winery and they start, you know, talking. And Amani starts pushing, you know, the fact that, like, you gotta tell your family, you gotta do this, you gotta do that. And when Ani says, no, I'm not going to do that, Amani gets up and starts supposedly crying. I mean, I didn't see any tears. I didn't see her makeup
Supposedly,
ruined.
yeah, well,
I
she
didn't
was covering
see
her face, but she
red
sounded
eyes. She just went all the way somewhere in the corner of the winery and started like nagging,
sobbing.
like sobbing,
Yeah.
supposedly, and like whining. Oh, I don't know. And on the way to that corner of the winery, she says, you can't turn a whore into a housewife. He's like, are you serious? Why are you even thinking that way? If you're thinking that way about the person you're gonna marry
That's
according
how
to your
she sees
own.
it. She's like a very weird, like, power
Exactly.
imbalance that she's raising by saying that. But also, it's an insult. She just called her a whore, for God's
Exactly. Yeah.
sakes.
If you're looking down on her like that, then
That's how they see it. Like,
why
we're
do you want to do
she's
this?
a charity case, and we're gonna come and we're gonna help her, and that's how she sees it.
Yeah, but you're ruining, you have kids. I mean, you have two kids, two little kids, and she has like three kids. At least one of them is, you know, is like little.
Yeah.
And you're gonna involve like a 7-year-old and into this whole mess of yours for what?
Yeah, I thought it was interesting that in the middle of all that sobbing, she was like, I'm such an idiot. Like, what am I don't know how honest she was being, because I was like, yeah, you are, because she was like, what have I done? I'm doing all this stuff and it's just a game to her and da 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 da. Right. And I'm like, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how much she's processing what she's saying, but like, yeah, that's what all of us are thinking. Yeah.
I know. So. And it was just like, she was just nagging, and these two were sitting at the table having cheese and wine.
And Matt's like, I don't really know what to say.
They were pretty much ignoring her a little bit. Just like, let her whine a little bit over there in that corner, because we don't know what the hell to, you know, say to console her. And they eventually, Matt gets up and goes to, and they both get up eventually. They go to her, and that, you know, the argument continues. Is like, I want to know, you got to tell them. And then they walk outside. It's like, when they went in, it was daytime. When they walked out, it was like dark already. And Amani is like threatening to go back to San, you know, San Diego. And
I'm about to drive away. 30 minutes back home.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, actually, I don't know how far Guadalajara is from San Diego, but
I know. And then at that point, Ani's like, she puts her foot down. Is like, you don't own me. She said, you don't own me.
Exactly. Yeah.
And you don't tell me what to do. And she kept saying, you shut up. Like, kept telling Ani to shut up. Because Ani kept going and going and going, complaining and moaning and bitching about everything. And at this point, Matt was all the way in the back. He didn't want to get involved. He's like, he didn't know how to get involved. So this is where, this is when Ani tells Amani, like, I'm in this relationship because of you. I love you more than Matt. I think at that point, she would have said anything just to keep Amani quiet. Like, stop. Like, that was the only thing she could have told her. But in action, it seems like Ani seems more comfortable with Matt. She might love Amani more, but she feels like she is more of a calm and relaxed person. And Amani is totally the controlling and angry person here. And they clash all the time. That's why, you know, when Amani complains that, oh, he was the first that, you know, Ani hugged and kissed, and she was with him first. Yeah,
because I think she has a better connection with him. Exactly. Straight up.
Because you keep, you know, nagging and moaning and about everything. So nobody wants to be with you.
Yeah.
And I'm glad she said that just to keep her quiet for time being. And I'm glad that she said that, you don't own me, and you better be quiet.
Yeah. What a mess.
So it's just like, you cannot expect someone whose family is conservative to
risk everything for you. You're pretty much a stranger.
Yeah, your relationship is going to be destroyed with your own family if she does that. And what if this thing with Thruple doesn't work out and you guys go back to US and this poor woman is like stuck in, you know, Tijuana, disowned by her family? And then what is she going to do?
Yeah, she has no one. Exactly.
Just because you have the selfish reason that you got to tell because we were Thruple and, you know, we were this, you know, weird relationship. You got to tell everybody. You got to tell your neighbors, your friends, you know. Let everybody
the bellhop,
just like we do. And I'm sure where she was born in Tunisia is the same way. You know, people are more conservative in those parts of the world. They don't want to, it just doesn't, it's something that's even crazy here.
She is just not understanding that this is an Amani problem. It is her insecurity.
Right.
That keeps bubbling up to the surface, because it is not, even though it may hurt that she's not like, hey, I'm shouting it from the mountaintops, everyone, we're a thruple, and it's reasonable. It makes sense because everything that you just said earlier.
Right.
And she can't see it that way because she's blinded by this trauma or insecurity that she has from
exactly
and, being felt like being kept a secret and, or whatever.
And I think it would have been helpful if Ani would have told him from the get-go, I'm not telling my family. She should have just told him, like, from the get-go, no matter what happens among us, I'm not telling my parents, period.
Yeah.
And that's the end of that conversation. So, yeah. You know, if Imani doesn't want to accept it, end it. Mm. End the relationship and go your separate ways. That's all.
It seems like that might be an actual possibility, but we'll have to see what happens.
But it just seems to me like Anya and Matt Matt doesn't do anything. He's just there, you know, so it's easier to connect with him because, you know, no matter where you are, he's either sitting there
like in the background, feet
behind you, or sitting at the kids table, or he's there somewhere. So you can go sit down and talk to him or not talk to him. And he doesn't, you know, claim to be anything or anybody or have an opinion of his own, or he doesn't know what to do. So it's
lumping a log, just like Mark.
Exactly. Next, we have
Mark.
Stevie and Maddie. I was super disappointed with Maddie in this episode.
Why?
Because first I thought, like last couple of episodes before this, so last episode, I was wondering why, if he misses his family, why doesn't he talk to them? Why doesn't he, like,
FaceTime them? He's been talking to them every day.
It turns out that he calls his mom every single day. Look, you are a grown-ass man. You don't need to talk to your mom every single day.
Why? I thought that was once mean that Stevie was saying that. No, I thought that was mean.
Exactly what Stevie said is, like, more you do that, more you're going to miss home.
But that's so not fair for her to judge. She's not the one who got up and came to another country. I can't imagine what that must feel like. If he wants to talk to his parents every day, let him do it.
Do that every single day. More I listen to Iranian music, more I miss being in Iran.
So?
I'm saying
like, but for Mahdi, that makes him happier. To hear his parents' voices.
Because it would have made him happier if his situation in Iran was better, if his family's situation in Iran was much better than what it is. But it's not. And part of the reason he's here is because he has no future there. He's here because he's not going to... Yeah.
So, I just remembered he said every time... it's not funny. Sorry. He said every time he called his mom, she just cries.
Exactly.
So it's actually not even like a conversation.
I mean, we talk about inflation here. I mean, inflation over there is like 100% inflation. It's like
insanity. I'm saying like she cries because she misses him. So it's probably not even an enjoyable conversation. I mean,
you can be miserable together or you can be miserable and be alone. And now his mom is alone and miserable. But he has chosen to be here. So he has to make Stevie his family. And he's not at that point yet. He's still thinking that he's going to go back.
It's only been like a week.
He's missing being with his family, being with his mom. But those days are over. This is your new life. You know.
I don't think it's clicked for him at all yet.
That's what I'm saying. He's just like, he's in this instance, like he's so mature in other aspects of his conversations with people and the way he deals with them. And in this particular situation, it's just like it's something is stopping him from turning the switch. At some point,
his inner child is coming out. He just straight up misses his mom.
You have to stop thinking about going there, going back. You're now, you know, becoming Iranian American. So you have to take the first step forward in that direction. If you keep thinking about, oh, you're still only Iranian, you know, at some point you're going to go back, it's not going to happen. Especially that you have only 90 days to get married, and it's not entirely up to you. Stevie has a say in this too, just like she said. Like, yeah. I can decide not to marry you either. You know, if that's the direction you're taking. And she said that every day I come back from work and I, in the morning, you're, you know, fine. And I come home, you know, at the end of my day and you're all depressed. Obviously, it makes sense not to talk to your mom every day because she, you know, cries on the phone and it makes you upset.
Yeah, I get it now. I get it. When I first watched it, I thought that that was kind of insensitive, but now I understand. It's like he has to start to kind of open the door a little bit to his new life, and he can't do that if he's stuck on the phone with his crying mother. But I wish Stevie also shared things with him of like, this is what you can do while I'm at work that can allow you to kind of acclimate to this town and this environment. I don't know. I always I think about it all. That's
the whole premise of the show is like bringing people over here and, you know, leave them at home with nothing to do.
That's what I'm saying. And, it's like, know. I just, if I was bringing someone from a completely different country and they were coming here, like, I would have an itinerary, an agenda ready. Like, let me get you excited about being in this new place because I know you're going to be really homesick. So, like this one weekend, because I'll be working. So during the week, you can try this place. This is a coffee shop, or this is like a nice park you can walk to, or like something like that to kind of
or drop them off somewhere.
Improve their mood.
You know, take him with you, drop him off somewhere at the mall or something, and let him roam around
with the sea lions.
It's funny, they went to the first team scene with them was when they went to the gym. And for some reason, obviously for him, it was the first time being at a co-ed gym.
Right.
And he's never seen that before. So it's like one culture shock after another, after another, after another. And he's like, he doesn't know what to think or what, you know, what to say, what to look at. And it, for some reason in this gym, there are only women. And for some reason, production, somebody was mic'd up and some of the women came up to him, started talking to him, and you know, about Wade, what to do, and he didn't know. He was like frozen. He didn't know what should I say something to her, or you know,
it's like
he had no idea, what no clues how to behave in that spot, in that moment. And Stevie came right quickly and he said, what are you up to? What are you doing? And, you know, started talking to him. And then they got into this bisexual thing. Like Matthew, for some reason.
That was so stupid. Oh,
and
my God.
I don't know if I sort of remember Stevie in the beginning, the first episode, she's mentioned something about bisexuality. I'm not sure. I mean, it's like I have to go back and watch it again.
I did not. But I don't remember that.
Maybe she didn't. Maybe I'm mixing her up with somebody else. If somebody's painting a particular subject, it doesn't mean that you're in love with that particular subject.
Yeah.
But at the same time, she could have said, no, I'm not attracted to women. But she
but maybe she isn't. She doesn't feel comfortable saying that. But it's a weird thing to ask because a lot of the times you don't get to choose. You go and whoever the model is what you draw. You don't really, unless, you know, and I have to say, like, I am not a talented artist, but I love sketching and painting and I used to do it in college. And you know, because you have all my sketches, I so much preferred the women models for drawing over men because all body types are different, but like there is a certain organic curvature to a woman's body that for me was so much more fun to draw. Like it was
graceful,
more interesting visually. So I always used to get excited when we had women models for drawing because I had so much more fun with blending colors and values versus a man's body, which was like, it just wasn't interesting to me. It doesn't mean it's not an indicator of sexuality. I get why he asked that. I mean, look at the culture and environment he's coming from.
Right.
That's what he's going to assume. But who knows? Maybe she's more fluid with her sexuality and she didn't feel like sharing it with him. Because he did say, I don't remember if he said it to her or on the camera, but he was like, if she's bisexual, I can't do this.
Right. Yeah, he said that.
Yeah, it's like, calm down, okay?
I don't know. Yeah,
I guess it's too much to ask from him.
Stevie should have made it clear. She should have explained a little bit more, but just the fact that she didn't, it made you think twice, you know, what if she does? What if she is attracted, and what if she, you know, is bisexual in a way?
Right.
Because the way she said that previously, she had said that she gets, when she's nervous, she smiles, and, you know, she doesn't get upset. So, she kind of got nervous about it, and that felt kind of weird. Like, why are you acting like that? Just tell him, you know, you're not what he thinks you are.
And if that's the case, you think that her body language was saying that she is bi?
Yeah, it's like, why not just say no? It's just a simple answer to say no. What are you talking about? And that would have been the end of that. Instead, it's like, I'm not going to answer that. Why? Next is, oh, your favorite, Jordan.
Mark and Mina.
Good. You want to take on this? Or
wait, don't you think that Jordan looks identical to the grandmother?
A little bit.
Literally, rewatch
she
it. They have the same
more,
face.
Much more like her mom.
I don't know, man. Look at the grandma.
Yeah.
And look at Jordan.
And grandma was nice, you know. She said, you know, she
fake
went
nice,
over
yeah.
When Mina walked off to away yeah. from them because of the prenup.
Yeah, because
subject.
Mark was like, "Go, go, go! I don't want to deal with it. You go, you go. Anybody else but me, go deal with my wife."
So the mom goes over. And says, oh, poor girl! I really think everybody's dumping on you. What did she say? She actually
said
if
she
you're...
was saying like it must feel like everyone's ganging up on you, which
right.
it does. There's no one right. there to advocate for her
right.
because the only person who should be, her husband, isn't doing anything.
No, nothing at all.
Yeah.
And
so she goes over there to console her.
Right.
And poor Mina looked like distraught. Like, I don't know. I didn't see her crying that much in the last episode, but she looked like really, like, not okay.
It's like she's been crying every episode. I've been seeing her not cry.
And I forget what they talked about specifically, but she was just like, Mina was like, I just don't want to have problems. And the grandmother was like, should we talk with Jordan? I think it would be good for us to talk.
Right.
And it's, again, it's like, why is Mark's mom doing this? Cleaning up his mess. Mark should be doing this. So then Mark goes over to Jordan and is like, he's like, I can't talk anymore. You go.
Right.
What?
Right.
So then Jordan comes over and Jordan is like, the grandmother says, I heard there were some words exchanged. Does anyone want to kind of elaborate or share on what happened there? And Jordan says, well, I just want to be clear. Like, you called me a snake. Do you really think I'm a snake? And Mina said what we joked about, which she was like, I think there's like a language barrier in French. And I'm sorry, I don't buy that one. I'm pretty sure snake means snake, no matter what language you're speaking. But anyway.
I would like an apology.
Yeah, and then Jordan's like, apologize, pretty much. And by force, Mina apologizes to her because she's being strong-armed by
right.
nanny grandma and Jordan. Like, what else is she going to do?
Right.
And then the grandmother puts Mina on the spot and goes, so can Jordan come to the wedding? What's she going to say? What's she going to say? No?
Exactly.
So she says, yeah, of course. You know, like, it's just like these people are not being nice to Mina.
Right.
They're just cornering her.
Right.
And again, this is why Mark should have been in the conversation, because he needs to be able to advocate for his wife. You know, you have your entire family versus her.
Right.
How do you think that's fair for her to be by herself in that conversation?
I know.
Because after Mina apologized, the grandmother wasn't like, and Jordan, do you have something to say to Mina? She just let it be.
Right.
Like, she wasn't planning on helping Mina out there. Jordan took it upon herself to say, and I apologize for blah, 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 which was bull, but right. whatever.
When Mina said that, she would sign the contract, the prenup, I think at that point, Jordan felt like, you know, okay, great. I got what I wanted.
Problem solved.
Yeah, problem solved. And everybody was okay with everything because Mina wanted to shut them up. And then they, at some point, Mark says, we got to catch the ferry back to mainland. And they leave. And somewhere along the line, Mina says, I'm not going to sign anything with you. So she just told them that she's going to sign the prenup in front, you know, to the family.
Yeah, when there's 20 people staring at you, like.
Exactly.
You're really going to pick that fight? No.
But it's just like, I mean, if people understood what the prenup is, they would agree to, more and more people would agree to sign it more, you know? Because it's just, yeah, it just tells you what I have before I met you is for me and for my previous family. And right. what we do from this point on is shared.
I think the complication is, in this scenario, like, Mina doesn't have a lawyer here to advocate for her and to look through that paperwork and advise her. Whereas in any other scenario, if it was like two American citizens or someone who's been here for a while who can retain someone to do that, it would be different. But I think there's probably a lot of fear from Mina's end because she knows that
you can get your attorney here. You don't know, you know, you don't have to decide on your own.
But she doesn't have funds to be able to, unless Mark is like, I'll pay for a separate attorney for you to look over this. Yeah, he should.
I mean, I would.
I know he should, like, but it's Mark.
Money. Why don't you get your own attorney? It's Mark.
No, but something the caveat is that Mark needs to help facilitate that for her, and he couldn't even facilitate a basic conversation.
But Jordan got her apology, so that's all that mattered.
It's all that matters, exactly.
And she thought she got the prenup, but in fact, she hasn't yet. So,
yeah,
we have to wait and see. I bet you Mark at some point is going to turn around and tell everybody, oh, Mina said that she didn't really mean
to. He has such a big mouth.
Exactly.
My God. So, all right. Next, Sean and Aaliyah.
Sean and Aaliyah, yeah.
The only thing I got from their segment was that Aaliyah is like hyper aware of her health and her surroundings and maybe slightly hypochondriac, but like, I don't want to say that because it's actually really good to continue to get tested if you're sleeping with a bunch of people. So that's not really a bad thing. So I don't know why Sean was painting it like, he was kind of painting Aaliyah as like an extreme germaphobe, but it seemed like to me, like a reasonable amount of germophobia.
I don't know.
But maybe I have a problem. I don't know. I don't know. Like, I didn't really get much from that segment. I was just like, okay, great.
I don't know. She's still she's in her 20s, right? She's 26
or 25. Something like that. Oh, 25? Even younger. 25, wow.
Yeah.
So young. Yeah. I was like, let her be a germaphobe. Like, it's not a big deal. Your house is covered in dust. So. Like, give her a break. What else did they chat about? They said that they were intimate and then they wanted to do a test. I was like, shouldn't you do a test before that?
I know.
It's kind of late now, but okay.
And that brings up the conversation of them being exclusive and kind of Sean tells her, yes, we will stay, you know, monogamous, but I don't think he really meant it. He didn't look like he meant it, but because he's not sure. He kind of explains that Aaliyah wants to go through gender affirming surgery. And I'm thinking, at what point is this person going to be the same person you fell in love with? You know, if the physical aspect of the changes, would that love be strong enough that would, no matter what the other person looks like, you're still going to be in love with that person? Or is that enough to change your mind about that? So I don't know. I mean, he might have said it because maybe he wants to keep his options open, but he just said it so that Aaliyah wouldn't talk about it anymore.
Yeah, you're very good at finding the themes to these episodes. Very perceptive. Nice job.
Just to say things to shut people up.
Because that's true. That was the case for like everybody pretty much.
Right.
Fun for us, because that'll be fantastic.
Exactly.
I am enjoying 90 Day Fiancé as a stress relief. Everybody, right. Go file your taxes.
Yeah.
If you haven't already.
It's coming up next week is due
Tuesday, right? Get it done. Mm-hmm. I'm going to cry myself to sleep about my tax situation.
So is half the country, I think.
Yeah, exactly. And we'll catch you next week.
Thanks, bye, everyone. Thank you for listening. Hey.
Thanks everyone for tuning in. Just a quick note, the opinions expressed in this podcast are our own and do not reflect those of our employers. Our content is for entertainment purposes only and are not meant to cause harm or encourage harassment. Please do not send hate or harass anyone that we discuss. That is not cute. That is not cool. Thank you for listening, and until next time.